The Cap'n J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to titoshometowntales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's titoshometowntales.com.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap'n J-Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out.
I don't need no stinking super team. That's right. Giannis Antetokounmpo didn't have to run and get a bunch of his buddies together. Hoodie, good morning. We were texting last night as that game wound down. Old school won last night, and I thought it was awesome.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, a two-time MVP, a Finals MVP, a five-time All-Star, a five-time All-NBA player, a four-time All-Defense player, and now NBA champion, Giannis Antetokounmpo. In our division, in our conference, Giannis, Middleton, and others were able to get it done for the Milwaukee Bucks. Congratulations to them. And it is confounding to watch the Bucks, as we've talked about, right? It's not as smooth as some of those Laker teams or as smooth as the Rockets or the Bulls or those dynasty teams. When it comes to the Bucks, it's just hard hat and lunch pail and get it done inside. Unconventional in today's NBA, but they found a way to win the NBA championship.
I loved it. They're the first NBA champion ever to come back from multiple 2-0 deficits in the same postseason. The first time in 50 years. Watching Giannis, where people went, well, I don't know, he's really good, but maybe he's not even the best player on his team. And he went, okay, you're an idiot. Anybody that felt that way. That guy last night was ridiculous to watch. And then to listen to him be as eloquent as he is about, I didn't need to go to a super team. I could have done that. I wanted to win here. I wanted to do it with our guys. They get Chris Middleton out of the G League. You called some of his games in the G League. Mm-hmm. Chris Middleton may not be Giannis. He's a really good player. Then they added P.J. Tucker and Drew Holiday. And they don't play a lot of guys.
Well, it's the Pat Riley theory for many years when he was coaching Cap. He would say, you know what, just give me the best eight players, and when we get to playoffs, I'll play the best seven. You know, like I know, that when you get to the playoffs, you just don't have a deep roster of guys coming out there. It's your starters and a couple guys you trust, and let's go. That's what it comes down to in the NBA. And so that same philosophy was there for the Bucks yesterday, through this series pretty much. So look at this team, right? So it's one thing to look at Giannis, and I want to make sure that we're not doing revisionist history here. As you and I watched the ebb and flow of the playoffs, what we saw is Giannis would have good games but not great games, and Middleton would pick up the slack. That's the hallmark of a really good team. Others being able to get it done. Holiday with key plays, even when Giannis wasn't his best. And, of course, something else that's kind of lost in the sauce here is that Giannis had an issue, an injury, where we thought he wasn't going to come back. That's superhuman, right? The extension of the leg where we thought, well, he missed a few days, like maybe he's not coming back. And he was able to come back with authority. The reason why it doesn't look like, oh my God, to some people with Giannis coming into these playoffs is that Giannis isn't Kevin Durant. You would say like Durant is the best or one, at least in the top three, right? Giannis is still a young player and still developing, right? But my advice to him is that don't be greater than great. You don't have to. From the foul line down, in the paint, Cap, he's unstoppable. Unstoppable.
He's unstoppable.
You don't need to shoot from the outside. And so the fewer times that he had shots from the outside and he kept it inside and went to the foul line, it was almost Shaq-like in that regard. This is all Shaq does, from the foul line down, dunks, layups, whatever, and get to the foul line. That's his best.
Yeah, watching that game last night and listening to all the people that had criticized Coach Budenholzer, he's going to get fired, he's awful, he's an NBA champion, man. Stop. Just stop. I listened to a couple of his players after the game. They went, that guy kept us focused and grounded when we thought, oh boy, we're in trouble. We lost the first two in Phoenix. They lost the first two in another series. They kept coming. That team plays hard.
I understand that, Cap, but I mean, if you're back to coaching, at least the way you dress and because of your confidence, at least you emote like you're going to win.
He's just a grinder, man.
I understand.
Soaked in sweat.
I understand. He looked like, did you see him? Like, there was a little bit of a wry smile from Budenholzer. He looked as if there's going to be practice today.
Exactly. On the line.
Like, coach, we won the championship. I expect you to practice at 10. Did he even realize it was over? I mean, look, man, your career is on the line. At least your coaching career is on the line this past season. Because the threshold was, if you don't make the finals, at least you're fired. And so I just like his little adjustments. Yes, it's Giannis. Yes, it's his version of the Big Three. But there's little adjustments in the second and third quarter where he goes small and kind of match what the opposition would do. That's good coaching when he's able to do that.
42 minutes for Giannis Antetokounmpo. If you did not see the game, if you went to bed early, 42 minutes, 16 of 25 from the floor. He took 3 3-pointers. He made one. He was 17 of 19 at the free throw line.
Clutch.
He had 14 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 blocks. He did turn it over 6 times, but that happens when you have the ball in your hands and you're getting doubled all the time. 50 points in the ballgame. 50. They played 8 guys and really only 7 because Teague played 2 minutes. Didn't take a shot. Just Portis, 23 minutes, 16 points. And Connaughton, 23 minutes. And he did not score. He was 0-4 from the floor.
Well, put a pin in that for a second, right? This morning, Bobby Portis is an NBA champion.
How about that?
You see that happening? Didn't see that happening at all. I mean, here's a guy, a former Bull, goes to a couple of teams like the Knicks, Washington, I think, for a cup of coffee, finds his way to be a cult hero in Milwaukee quickly,
they love
right?
Him. They love him there.
The energy, because he brings the energy there. He got the eyes going. He's got the hands going. He tells the crowd to get up. That, I mean, he's a cult hero. So I'm happy for Bobby Portis this morning as well. So what does this mean, Cap? When our teams don't win and we see other teams win, what do we look at? We look inward. We look at our team. And we say, well, that's Milwaukee's blueprint. Just 90 minutes from here. That's the blueprint. So how do the Bulls get there? So you got Giannis Antetokounmpo, an all-world talent. Not an AAU guy. Guy from Greece who loves Milwaukee. How often do you see that? Has Aaron Rodgers said he loves Milwaukee? Has he ever said he loves the state of Wisconsin? I don't know if he's ever said it openly. Giannis has. Right. Loves Milwaukee, right?
Says I don't want to ever play anywhere else. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to make movies in L.A. or got to get to New York. Mm-mm. He signed a big deal there. Said this is where I want to be. I love it here. He likes it quiet.
So Giannis, Middleton, Holiday are their big three. So then you have a P.J. Tucker you just pick off the scrap heap, right? Mm-hmm. Just a journeyman, right?
Took one shot last night. Didn't score a point. Didn't score a point. Took one shot. Was a plus 13 on the plus-minus chart that all coaches keep.
Just strong defensively. Always an irritant defensively. So he's part of that lineup, right?
Played 36 minutes.
Lopez is a monster inside, right? And again, not great, but efficient. Quality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then so you put all your money in the Middleton Holiday Giannis basket. And then you have the others, right?
Right.
You just piece it together. So how far are the Bulls from the Bucks this morning? I would say a long way away.
A very, very long way. But I believe you wake up this morning and you go, you know what? We've got two really, really good players in Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic. Really good.
How many stars in that Bulls team? 0.
I disagree with
0.
You. Well, what's a star?
Superstar, I'm sorry.
If you're on Team USA and you were averaging 28 a game, you're a star.
Is he on Team USA, Cap?
He's in quarantine, right?
Okay. No, he actually has passed the health protocols. He's traveling, I believe, today to Tokyo. So
nice.
He'll be there for their game. I ask you this. Would you rather have Zach LaVine or Chris Middleton?
Chris Middleton today. No question about it. We've talked so much about Middleton and how much of a difference maker, a shot maker he has been. When Giannis was down, Middleton was able to step in and fill the bill. No question about it.
You know I'm the biggest Chris Middleton guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was screaming.
You love the story.
I love the story, yeah. And I've been screaming for before he got his big deal to stay in Milwaukee. I said, that's the guy the Bulls are. They need a small forward type who can handle like that. Go get that guy. And Milwaukee gave him a max deal, so he wasn't going anywhere.
Right.
That all said, I think because of his athleticism, his ball skills, he needs a point guard around him. I think I take Zach LaVine.
Can't do it. Can't do it. And I don't even know if he's no better than Reggie Theus, quite frankly, because that's what he is right now. Reggie, for those young people that are listening to our show that don't know, Reggie, as Cap will tell you, was a very talented player, mm-hmm. very talented player. But around him, he didn't have a lot of support. It was Reggie's team. Reggie making shots in his mink coat with one blonde on one side and a brunette on the other, still trying to make shots.
Right.
That's the only thing that held him down. Okay, but he didn't have a lot of... So the same thing's happening with Zach. Zach is a very talented player. He just has to be in a winning environment. Didn't do that in his previous stop in Minnesota. And with this situation, I like Vucevic. I mean, he's a walking double-double. And I like that when LaVine is locked in, he's a terrific scorer also. But there's warts around the team. That's just two guys. There's not a superstar on this Bulls team. Not yet. Not yet. You gotta get to the playoffs. You gotta win more. Doesn't matter if he's in a Bulls uniform, Cap. Can you get the team to another level? That is a team that's good and not great. And those players are good and not great yet.
Watching that game last night gave every other team in the league hope that you don't have to have LeBron. You don't have to go recruit three super players to have a super team. You don't. James at Gurney. Hey, James, what's up, man?
Good morning. Real quick point, then a quick point about the Bulls. But I just to say, I've been watching basketball since I was 12, boys, and good morning.
Good morning.
That might be one of the best performances I've ever seen. So, having said the Bulls, dude, they're miles away. I'll just tell you why. You take any two of our two stars compared to their two, they play a 16th of the defense as the Bucks do. We're miles away because we don't play defense. None of Zach, I can never remember our center's name, I'm sorry, but they don't play defense. Like them three do. Not even close. We're about as far away as the Cubs are winning. Seriously, we're miles away. Miles until they start playing some defense. Have an awesome day, boys. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it.
And that's the whole thing that the Bulls front office has to take care of. They have to look and say, how can we if Vucevic and LaVine are part of the future, how do we build around them? Again, This Milwaukee team, Giannis is special. I don't know if this Bucks team is special. They're special enough to win the championship. But look what they did. They locked the money in those big three.
They did.
And again, it may not be the flashiest big three ever assembled, but they got it done, didn't they? They got it done.
So the Deer District was packed last night. Packed. Do you still have FOMO? Fear of missing out. We looked at it a couple weeks ago. I said to you, Hoodie, I got FOMO, man. Look what they've got. We don't have that. We don't have one team other than the White Sox that you go, wow. And we don't have anything like that. There were 65,000 there. 65,000 outside the stadium. What'd you think? 312-332-3776. Be right back.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
92-88, Suns back within four, 6:24 to go. Here's Holiday, jump pass, left corner, Connaughton. He'll work it up top to Middleton. Pass inside, Giannis turns and flushes! 45 for the Greek Freak! Giannis goes hard, lays it up and in over 8, and 47 for Giannis. And the lead grows to 8 with 3.5 minutes to go in game 6. Bridges guarding, Holiday going to his left, out to the wing with 5. Crowder's got him, inside to Giannis, turns, 10-footer, goes down! 49 for Giannis! 50 years in the waiting! Giannis Antetokounmpo scores 50 in an MVP performance, delivering the 2021 NBA championship to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yep, they're partying in Milwaukee, and good for them. They deserve it. Hoodie, shots taken in a 50-point NBA Finals game. Prior to last night, LeBron James, 32 shots to get his 50 back in 2018. MJ took 37 shots in 1993. Nobody took less than LeBron's 32. Was a high of Rick Barry with 48 back in 67. Giannis took 25 shots. That's it. To get 50. Pretty amazing.
There's a guy that's absolutely locked in, and he is on his way to being a great. The line that he had yesterday, the amount of points that he scored, as we discussed, 16 for 25 from the field, 64% from the field overall, the 14 rebounds, the 50 points. We haven't seen a line like that since Michael Jordan.
Crazy.
Since Michael Jordan.
Crazy.
I mean, so congratulations to the Bucks. But, you know, aside from the game, Cap, we saw something we've never seen before. And what do we talk about with sports all the time? I know for me as a sports fan, it's about seeing something that you've never seen before. Something in a game, something that happens that's an interesting occurrence. The Deer District last night is something I've never seen before outside a stadium. We have seen this in Toronto in a smaller way. We've seen this.
That was Jurassic Park.
Sure. Yeah. But we have seen this as far as smaller amounts of people outside a stadium and inside a stadium, but not like last night. That was insane last night.
Unbelievable. They expanded it. We found that out on Monday to 65,000 capacity, and it was packed. Billy and Mundelein was there in the Deer District. Were you? 312-332-3776. We want to hear from you what that experience was like. Billy, what was it like, man?
Oh, it was incredible. I was at the Cubs World Series. I've been to Mardi Gras, a bunch of things, and nothing was like last night. I mean, it was so packed. We got down there about a little before 4 o'clock, and there was areas to walk around and stuff, and then we got a few beers and some food, and the next thing you know, it just started closing in, and I mean, there was nowhere to move, and it was just a great experience. Everybody was being jerks or anything. Everybody was great. Everybody was nice and positive and fun. It was really cool.
So, Billy, my concern, seeing some of the pictures and the videos from that, is how many porta potties was available? I didn't see a lot in that in some of the pictures I saw. I saw like one per, 2,000 or 3,000. What was that like?
Yeah, that was a challenge. But so we ended up moving over to the overflow area, and there was more space over there. And you could see, I mean, the screens were so big. So we kind of planned it out, and we were able to get to the bathroom there. But, the lines were incredible. You know, food, beer, everything like that. People passing out and stuff. I think some younger people overdid it. And I'm 41. And so we ended up leaving at halftime because we've been out there for 5.5 hours. Just standing for that long was hard. I looked around and everybody else around me was probably in their 20s or younger.
Wow. That's great, man.
Were at any point, were you nervous about whether it's the crowd, whether it's COVID, whether it's just insanity, any of that cross your mind or no?
Not COVID, because I've been vaccinated, but I was a little nervous just when we were in like that courtyard area, and it was really tight, and there was a younger kid who passed out right in front of us, and people were trying to get him out of there, and just in the event that something were to happen, can you get out? And there was just really hardly anywhere to move at all. So at that point, so we were like, let's get out somewhere where we can have a little bit more space.
Man, that's amazing.
And that was good. And they said there was a shooting at like just after midnight, apparently around that area. We didn't see anything. We were out and about, at about 11 or so, and people were just honking their horns, and they were, celebrating, and the buses had the NBA champs on it right away. Across the marquee of the buses.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, everybody was just, I've never seen it embrace the way, just a small market. I think that, might be the difference there.
Billy, thanks, man. Have a great day. Thanks for weighing in.
Hey, appreciate it, Cap. Great hearing you guys.
See you, bud. There he is, Billy. He went up there, hung out in the Deer District. 65,000.
Now, keep in mind, the tailgate and that thing was open 2-3 hours before the game.
He was there at 4, he said.
Yeah. So think about that. So you're now we're talking about 4-plus hours before the game because you just want to get your spot. And you just want to see history, Cap. You just want to be able to see it because it was there for the taking. If the Bucks can be able to lean on the Suns, and really that's what I'll remember about this. It's not that the Bucks were getting up and down the floor, because that's what the Suns do. They're fast. But it's just the strength and the will, leaning on Paul, leaning on Booker defensively. That was the difference.
Let's go to the phones again. Justin's in Dallas. Hey, Justin, what's up, man?
All right, Justin.
Justin.
All right.
Where's our guy,
hey,
Justin?
Cap.
There you are. What's up, buddy?
Hey. Hey, good morning. How you all doing, Captain Hoodie?
So,
I'm very happy that the Bucks won. But one of the things that annoyed me last night is I was looking on Twitter and I saw a few comments that were saying, "Oh, this is like a championship for Chicago because it's so close." I don't think that's fair to Milwaukee. You know, they earned that, and we got a long way to go. Like Hoodie said, we need to make some moves. We need to do whatever it takes to get that feeling, but. And this is in no way, shape, form, or fashion comparable to them. They earn that, and that's all I wanted to say. You all have a good day.
You have a great day, man.
No, this is not a championship for Chicago just because it's 90 minutes away. No, it's not. It's Milwaukee's championship. They've waited 50 years for this. The Packers have had their division championships, and they're one Super Bowl under Rodgers, and they're one under Favre. But this means a lot. 50 years waiting since Jabbar. So this is their championship.
Pretty crazy. They think about 50 years, and then you go, well, the Cubs are 108. I mean, that shows you, I mean, levels of ineptness.
Sidebar, may I approach?
You may.
So, Cap, has basketball changed based on what we saw with the Bucks here? Like, we've been talking about Giannis pounding it inside, right?
Yep.
In a three-happy league. It's like that in high school, that high school tournament that we covered, kids shooting from the outside. We see this in college all the time from three. So is this the new formula? The bigs getting it done on the inside like when we grew up?
I would say to you, as someone who my career started in coaching, that, yeah, Golden State changed the game because they were really freaking good at it.
Correct.
Steph and Clay and KD, and then they added in Draymond and Andre Iguodala, and they had a good coach who let them play. They were good at it. That didn't change the way the game is played. It changed the way they played.
Correct.
Now, do we have a Giannis Antetokounmpo?
We do not.
Okay, so the Bulls have to find a way to get a point guard, to get everybody involved. Zach has to take the next step. Vucevic is a really good player. Patrick Williams has to continue to develop and become, I'm not telling you he's going to be Kawhi Leonard, that's one of the 15 greatest players, but a good player, and you got to keep adding talent. And you have to marry your talent to a system that works. That's why I bristled when people were like, Budenholzer sucks. No, Budenholzer was a smart dude who figured out a way to get... Giannis was shooting from the perimeter earlier in the playoffs.
Hated that.
You think by himself, he just decided, I'm going to go back inside? His coach said, here's how we're going to win. You got to get down on the block. I'll let you operate from the wing. Stop shooting so many threes.
Coaching. Let's take a look at this box score here, right? So from the three-point, let's see. The Bucks 6-for-27 from three last night, right?
Yep.
Did I have that right? Okay. All right. They didn't shoot double digits in threes. They got it done with six. You know what's sexy? The mid-range. Even though I know the three-point has more value, but at least you're making buckets, right? At least you're getting it in the hoop, right?
You're exactly right. And you're a basketball guy. But I remember asking Jeff Van Gundy, how hard is it for you to defend the triangle? I was standing talking to him at an arena. Hey, man, how hard is it to defend the triangle? Because that's what the Bulls ran.
Right.
He said, stop with that. Please stop. I said, what do you mean? He goes, call it the circle, the rectangle, the diamond. You've got 23. You got the best player the good Lord ever created. That's why you win. Because when the game's on the line, we can't stop that guy. He goes, then you add in Pippen and Rodman or Grant or this guy or that guy. You have the best players. I don't care if it's the square or the triangle. It doesn't matter. You got the best players.
So in this case, in that scenario, it would be Giannis, a big guy like
now.
That, like 7-footer with the ball in his hands that can get right to the basket and score. So it's not necessarily the whatever play that Budenholzer is calling. You got to stop Giannis.
Correct.
You got to stop that guy. And it's hard when he's coming downhill. It's hard to stop that guy.
Dude,
there's only like two or three guys in the league. Like it's him, Anthony Davis when he's healthy,
yep,
and like Embiid as far as bigs that could be able to get it done.
Correct. So give Budenholzer Cristiano Felicio and take Giannis off. There was no Deer District. That would be a ghost town.
It's funny. It's funny though. You talk about that. Like honestly, if Durant's foot is behind the 3-point line, Budenholzer is gone. Like we're not even talking about this. He would have been fired if the Bucks lost that series to the Nets.
I'm not convinced of that.
I am absolutely convinced of that.
I'm not convinced.
And you know what? This, I will always remember this, Jeff, as them are the breaks.
No doubt about it.
The whole postseason, are the breaks.
The margins are so thin.
Lakers down, Suns make their way in. And by the way, tip of the cap to Chris Paul. That'll be all. That was your best shot. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So long. Yeah, I don't think you're going to get a ring.
But is that going to stop him from the offseason and be like, can I get $40 million? Because I'm the key to your success.
Correct.
No, you're not.
Not
this,
here.
This was your best shot.
That was it.
And God, by the way, I like what they did. I like the Suns. They were fine. Hey, when you see Devin Booker taking another step, I mean, you got the ball stolen from you twice in the finals, man. That's learning.
And by the way, shout out to Monty Williams, who...
Class.
I was rooting for that guy. He lost his wife in that tragic auto accident when he was the assistant in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. He was out to raise his kids. He comes back. He goes to Phoenix. He had been in New Orleans as a head coach. Did you see him walk into their locker room? Milwaukee, I just want to congratulate you. You're a class organization. You won fair and square, and I'm happy for you. I thought that was pure class.
I'm happy for you, man. Let me get this Corbell on the way out.
In baseball, two things are right once again.
Can I get that bottle?
The White Sox are truly great this season.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
And Chris Bryant is hurt again. Next.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Swing and a base hit out into center. Angle to third. Joe McEwing's going to send him. Going to be a play. He is saved. Swing and a base hit. Collins around third. Here comes the throw. It's late. White Sox lead 6-5. Billy, be a hero. Stretch by Robles and the pitch. A high towering fly deep left. It's back there. It's going to go. Three-run homer. 9-5.
Yep. That is last night right here on your home for White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000, and the White Sox Network. Awesome to hear again. It's one of those years... And I remember you said to me, and I pushed back hard against you on this. Look, I just want to take the next step, is what you said.
Yep.
And I said, no, you can win the World Series this year because next year's promise to no one. Carlos Rodon may not be here. At that point, we said we don't know if Lance Lynn will be. Now we know he will. You don't know what injuries befell the team or what players hitting a buck 70, and you're like, whoa! I didn't see Tim Anderson struggling or Abreu or whoever it is. You are in a charmed year. Now's the time to put the pedal down because you get down, you give up a home run in the eighth, and bam, come right back.
90% of the time I'm listening to the ESPN Chicago app for White Sox baseball, as you well know, right? Mm-hmm. I'm out, I'm watering the grass, I'm watering the flowers, I'm moving around, doing stuff, and I got the app in my ear.
So, you're watering the flowers.
Well, yes, but again, don't get sidetracked. Let's focus on the White Sox. Again, we have a show going on here, okay? So the bottom line is that I'm listening to the White Sox radio network and listening to Len. Len is having so much fun. every night.
You can hear it.
You can tell that he's just having so much fun yelling and having a fun time watching this White Sox team because it's fun. It's a fun season so far for the White Sox. And again, you can look at the Twins record and say, well, look at them. They're down. That doesn't matter. You have to continue to keep the momentum going. You put your foot on the Twins and you put it on their neck and you twist it over and over again, because that's a team that's beat us down for so long. So I'm happy this morning and every morning when the Sox beat the Twins. Love it.
But you got to be more in line. Maybe you're not. More in line as you're watering your flowers.
And the grass.
And the grass.
Yep. Again, listen, I don't have people paying for that.
I don't either. I got a wife. She's out there doing that.
Oh, well, that's great, Ralph Cramden, but I actually do some stuff around my house. But go ahead. Don't get sidetracked because Sox fans will say you didn't give them their due. So keep it on the Sox.
I'm giving them their due.
All right.
I think you are more in line with me now that it's going to turn to August here in 9-10 days. You can win the World Series. I'm not telling you you will. Because a break here, a break there, an injury here, an injury. You never know. Brooklyn went to bed when the regular season ended thinking, oh, we got this. We got this. AD's banged up. We got this. They didn't even get there, let alone win it. Your team that plays on this radio station can win the World Series. Now's the time to put the pedal down.
Your lips to God's ears.
Here's a criticism, Huddy. We heard the Jose Abreu homer to cap off that comeback last night.
Sure.
How does Jose Abreu come up a single shy of the cycle? He does the hard work, the double, the triple, the homer. It can't happen too often where a guy comes up a single shy of the cycle.
I know. But that's White Sox baseball, isn't it? Someone else picked up that single for Abreu.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Billy Hamilton locked in on the single earlier.
Right.
So all good.
Because that's what he's there for. Remember, he's just here to get a single.
But when you're getting, like, the Pirates, let me just be clear here.
Mm-hmm.
The Pirates released Brian Goodwin. They're one of the worst teams in the sport. You guys pick him up. He's an integral part of the team. Brian Goodwin. People are like, who?
Right.
That guy's been in a cleanup spot.
Hit second?
Yes, yeah. He's all over the place. Yeah. Solid defensive player, runs well. Look back at the myriad of injuries, and you just keep finding ways to win. Oh, they don't beat the good teams. And you take two or three and bludgeon the Houston Astros last weekend. Just keep the pedal down. You're going to get Jimenez back. You're going to get Robert back. You're going to get Grandal back. You're going to add on. I'm telling you, they're not going in with that team. They're going to go get somebody that can play second, and they're going to get a bullpen arm.
And then, you know, we didn't get to it yesterday, but you mentioned Grandal coming back maybe sooner than we think, according to La Russa.
Correct.
So just like, I told you, man.
Charmed.
August, September, we're just going to be listen, it's already a really solid team. Don't want to mess with the White Sox when we get healthy.
Did you see the two nights ago, Gavin Sheets hits the home run?
Yeah.
We played that yesterday. It was an awesome call by Len. Did you see the first person that he was hugging? It was Tony.
Sure.
Tony put his arm around him, and they're hugging. And you could just see this joy on Tony's face. And all the players are patting him on the back as they go by. And he does these little karate chop moves with
right.
Couple of the players. Dude, I'm telling you, that group is connected.
Well, that's a positive for the White Sox. There's no question about that. My whole thing for me as a White Sox fan watching this every night is that I'm trying to figure out who's going to be the hero tonight. There's the old Hawk Harrelson pick the click. It could be anybody in this lineup. And again, I know it when I see it because I saw it in 16 with the Cubs. I've seen it with other teams in sports. When a team is able to have unsung heroes
every night,
and you're looking at it, it's like, how'd that guy come through? How's Goodwin on this team? Berger's not supposed to be here. What's going on? Sheets is not. That's great. Now, there's going to be some tweaking here and there between now and the deadline as far as trying to upgrade, but I like what the Sox have right now. Offensively, when you get healthy, along with these other interchangeable parts, Cap is just tremendous to watch. It's so much fun to watch. And so, you know, will I need a bullpen arm or two? More than likely, sure. Okay. But this is on Rick Hahn. But the offense and the way they're able to click offensively, that works for me.
Okay, so while your team is a celebrating type ball club again, in the clubhouse, having a good old time, and We keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. They've traded Jock Peterson on the north side, and there's going to be a bunch more going out the door, it looks like. They had a good comeback last night, and it's fun to beat the Cardinals because I despise them. Chris Bryant made a diving catch and came up. I'm feeling some, what did they call it? Fatigue?
No,
right,
that's not
hamstring
what
they, fatigue.
That's not what you call it, but go ahead.
I mean, dude, I watch football players get into car wrecks on every play. Every play. He dove for a ball. Was that out of an abundance of caution? We've heard that term used now. We're going to discuss that. Is Chris Bryant really hurt, or are the Cubs just being super cautious because they're about to trade his ass? We're going to talk about that next.
What a way to start the day.
Our new morning show. Cap and J-Hood.
Mornings on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Cubs lead. Trevor Williams. Drilled out towards left center. Bryant. And KB lays out. Nice play by Chris in left field.
Yeah, you can hang a star on that one.
Change defensively in left field, and Ian Happ is out there for Chris Bryant.
So you might have been onto something with KB. Not feeling good after that diving play.
Wow. Diving catch, good play. You know he's a very talented guy, and they called it hamstring fatigue.
Courtesy of what's
freaking hamstrings are fatigued every day.
Courtesy of what's wrong with the Marquee Network.
I mean, are you serious? Is he really hurt? Because immediately, so I'm trying like you. I'm trying to follow the White Sox game. I had money on the Sox. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to follow the basketball game because I know that's going to be the lead of our show if they win the title.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
And I'm a Cubs guy, and I despise the Cardinals. So I want to watch and see what happens there, and I'm flipping around, and I'm on this game. All of a sudden, I'm on Twitter. I'm like, oh, God. People are going, oh, KB just got traded. I'm like, what?
Oh, they thought he got pulled out early.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
So I'm making calls, and I'm texting over at Wrigley. Did you guys just trade Bryant?
People were pissed at Jesse because he tweeted out Chris Bryant has been removed from the game, but he didn't mention that it was because of the diving catch. And so Jesse's timeline blew up for a good 10 minutes until he clarified that it was likely because of injury.
Right, so Gordon did the same thing, but then they will go to Jason Carr, the head of media relations. Hey, man, why is he out of the game? And so he'll call Jed or one of the assistants to Jed. Did you guys make a trade? No. So then they will tell the media. And then I saw Gordon, Jesse, everybody tweeting, hey, he was removed for right hamstring fatigue.
Okay. Well, that's also on the St. Louis guy on the PA. Where's in the press box? You know how that used to be. Like someone gets removed and immediately you get the, like a Bob Rosenberg.
Bryant removed because of hamstring. Bryant hamstring.
So Bryant. Removed because of the hamstring. Like that's
right.
But the St. Louis guy in the booth.
They didn't tell him.
They didn't say anything.
They don't tell him.
You remember that? It used to be in the loudspeaker, and then Harry would say it.
Correct. And you could. Yeah, Harry. I already heard the PA guy in the background. But so was he pulled because his hamstring's bothering him?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that. I believe that. Yeah, it was a little, you know, sore the last few weeks. He played in the All-Star game in the field. He got a double against the Cardinals on Friday before the All-Star game, and he sprinted out of the box when he hadn't played in 3 days because the bases were loaded.
So you think that that's not real?
I think it's totally being cautious because he's getting his ass traded.
If that was an All-Star game played yesterday, he would have played all nine.
Probably.
I believe so.
If they would have let him.
Yes, I think he would have played all nine.
Yeah, I truly believe, Hoodie, again, maybe the deal blows up. Maybe they don't get it done. They are trying hard to move him, get his money off the books, and get young prospects back, and that's why.
So you don't think that's Bryant being soft. You think that's the Cubs being cautious. Is that which way you're leaning?
yes to everything.
Okay. So it's both.
I don't think he's what you would call the grittiest, toughest guy in the world. No, I do not.
I wonder if the Mets know that.
I don't think the Mets care. Do we need him for 3 months?
No, if I'm the Mets, like for a rental, like, you know, if he plays well, then I'm going to pay that guy $30 million a year because I'm sure that's what he's going to be looking for. He wants that from the Cubs for sure.
Yeah, I don't see him wanting to sign in New York. I do not. That market and him, I don't think is a match.
He loves Los Angeles. I know he'd rather probably be a Dodger.
San Diego. But yeah. You know where I think he could go? Vegas.
Oakland?
Exactly. Oakland looks like they're going to move to Vegas.
Yeah.
He's from Vegas. He'd be comfortable. It'd be a great fit for him. He's a great person. He's a wonderful guy and amazingly talented. I don't believe him and Chicago, New York, Boston, Philly, those four like brutally tough markets, I just don't think it's a great fit.
Where did this all go wrong? I'll tell you where it all went wrong. When he decided to have his own press conference to go against Theo and try to counteract what Theo said as far as the amount of money that they offered him. That was on him. He didn't have to do that. His agent could have done that for him. But no, there he was with this long table at spring training.
Remember that?
This is let's hold in court. Bryant. And of course, like him taking shots at St. Louis. That was just a lot of that was just a different look at Bryant than I've never seen before.
Well, that was like in that Ryan Dempster comedy show at the convention.
Yeah.
He did this offhander. Yeah, St. Louis is boring. Yeah, never. It gets blown up because it's Chris Bryant saying it.
And it's true.
This is true.
And that's
this
true.
This is true.
So I just, you know, it's too bad, too, because Bryant goes out of the game. We think that maybe he's going to be traded. We talked to Rizzo yesterday. He's just playing it by ear. I think he knows the back of his mind. He could be gone.
I'll be stunned if he gets traded. Stunned.
But he's preparing himself and bracing himself just in case.
Correct. Like, all right, just let me know what's going on. I'm just going to show up every day and do my job.
All I know is that if I'm a Cub fan, I'm like, okay, well, you know, Rizzo can stay, but it's got to be my kind of deal. It's got to be a hometown discount. I can't pay that guy $100 million.
I can't. First of all, $100 million pales in comparison to what he wants.
You don't understand what I mean. Like over 3 or 4 years or mm-hmm. 3 years. Like he has a bulky back and he's a first baseman.
Oh, you're talking about Rizzo. I thought you
Rizzo,
meant Bryant.
Rizzo, I mean.
I got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
I said, with Rizzo, I know that in the back of his mind, you say he may not be going anywhere, but I think he's bracing himself, Rizzo. But again, I know he's going to want a lot of money, and I'm thinking, well, I have you having back issues and being a solid citizen, but not worth the squeeze as far as paying through the nose for you.
It's going to be interesting to see how these next 9 days play out on both sides of town. Like, there's this narrative we're just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop on who the Cubs dump. Also, who the White Sox add on.
Sure.
So we'll see how everything goes. Chris Bryant, I would be very surprised if he is in the lineup today.
The Sox are looking to find someone to replace Raymond Burr out of the bullpen. Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Raymond Burr. Mark, I'd like for you to get the small of my back. Yes.
It's Ryan Burr.
What?
His name's Ryan.
Is that Raymond?
No.
I saw him roll out there.
Yeah. Perry Mason was not out there last night. All right. We're going to play. We'll get to more of your calls. But we're going to play shot or no shot.
Cap?
That's coming up next.
Mark.
Yeah.